Okay. All right, so we're out of the kitchen, right? We've basically finished all the halachos that have to do with the kitchen, but there are still a number of other halachos that have to do with meat and milk, basu b'chalav. So we have, for tonight, waiting between meat and dairy. The other topics have to do with, like, eating at the same table, whether you're with a family or other people, and checking for bugs and other kashrus related ideas. But specifically when it comes to waiting between meat and dairy, so that itself is a whole sugya, right? Like specific restaurants, but just in general, like fries or the like, right?
If yeah.
You eat fries from one restaurant, are you fleishig? How long do children have to wait? So like these are things that come up, right? Like normally we just think 6 hours, 3 hours, 1 hour, whatever you keep is what you keep and you're set, right? That whatever your minhag is.
Until you learn about within the six.
Until you are within the six. Oh, so you already know about that. Okay, that's...
Yeah, I remember.
Before we get into this, can I just do a really quick question from previous? So
yeah.
if you cut an onion with a meat knife, regardless of it's ben yomo or not ben yomo, and you eat that onion, are you fleishigs?
No.
Okay, but it just can't be mixed with...
It shouldn't be mixed with dairy. Okay. You're not fleishigs. There is... where is it? We'll see. It's the last source. What, are you taking bites of raw onions? Five, what, purple onion? We'll get to it,
okay.
Right? This has to do with also like ben yomo pot, let's say you're cooking parv or anything like that, and it pulls out the taste of the meat, so does that make you fleishig, right? So we'll see. But for now, we'll see the first three questions, right? So number one is, we for sure finish Shabbos lunch between 2 and 3 p.m., but I don't remember the exact time. So at what time can I eat pizza that Motzi Shabbos? Right, so now you're throwing at me the within the 5 hours? Yeah?
Is that a thing? Into the sixth hour.
Into the sixth, what does that mean? Meaning that means pass. Meaning,
yeah, pass. Within that hour.
Anything, okay, fine. So what time can I eat pizza then? Right, between 2 and 3. So
between 8 and 9, I guess.
Do you have to...
Do you have to go to the ninth, or can you be the most lenient?
Right,
exactly. Okay, good. So you're already aware of that question. Fine. I don't want to ruin anyone's Motzi Shabbos, but you should know I went home and I did ask my wife if we could heat up a pizza. It was Friday. We got pizza from my father who came in. I was like, why don't we just heat this up in the oven, in the box? Right. That was nixed really fast. But I still think it's a good idea. Okay. What?
Actually, was a good thing of the question of meat and milk usually only comes up on Shabbos. It'd be great if there's like a Shabbos timer when you finish your lunch, you like push a button. And
yeah, like that.
A non-electric button and it like starts the clock for
you. That's it.
Well, in the winter time, you for sure have to wait, but in the summertime,
it's right.
So it's always a question. No one ever remembers exactly when they finish Shabbos lunch. Yeah.
Also, finish lunch or finish meat.
Right.
I try to figure out when you finish meat or not. Which one do you count from?
You're talking for a while until you finish and this stuff. Yeah.
Right. So where do you count from? The end of the meal? Right. Okay.
The last bite.
Right. The last bite. Okay. Number two, my three-year-old had chicken for dinner 10 minutes ago. And now he's throwing a huge tantrum because he wants to eat a slice of cheese. Am I allowed to give it to him? Right. 3 years old. How long does a child have to wait? Right. This is Maisim Chol Yom. I don't know about you, but, or even go younger, right? What about your little one-year-old just chewed chicken or meat, and now they're screaming for their bottle, and their mouth is full of meat. So can I give the bottle to them, right? What does everyone do? Do you give your... I won't ask, but... No, the slice of cheese to your child, right? That's, yeah.
Very common.
Yeah, very common, especially the tantrum part. And then three, can I eat fries from a dairy restaurant if I'm currently fleishigs? And do fries from a meat restaurant make me fleishigs? This is a question all the time, right? Anyone in the Heights, I had to change this question because in the Heights it was, if I eat fries from Golan, anyone ever ate a Golan in the Heights? Best restaurant. So does that make me fleishigs? I suppose here the question really is Max's fries, do they make you fleishigs?
Or Ben Yehuda, can
you have those after having meat? Right, exactly. I did not call up any of the establishments to check, but there
like
still is
an
approach.
One of the most common questions both of those establishments get.
Probably.
And most of the time the person that answers has no idea.
Yeah, not at all. You have to like get to the back of the Mashkiach. Yeah. I have Sachi Cohen on speed dial, so we can check in.
Well, it's definitely dairy equipment.
Well, it's definitely dairy equipment, but we learned that's not Barnat. That's a double transfer of taste. Dairy equipment doesn't make you dairy.
Right.
And dairy equipment you can have
Oreos,
after meat.
I mean,
right, but that you can have after meat.
I think, practically, I'm pretty sure that not what do you call it? Any dude that puts their mozzarella sticks in the same.
Yeah.
In the same fryer. Okay.
Max is they put their chicken nuggets or whatever in the deep fryer.
Right. Most meat restaurants do that because they'll be having them going at the same exact time.
Yeah. So then most likely, yeah, it's Flashy.
So right, so does like, it count as cooking
falafel
in the same?
Flashy at Max's, right? That's the question.
Oh, interesting. I guess question would also be falafel. I never thought about that. If you think the fries, but what about the falafel? Right. Right. Exactly. So that's basically the question. Okay. So the sugya really starts in a pasuk in Parshas Baaloscha, I think, that it says a basar odenu bein shnehem ter mikares, that the meat of the quail or the slab was still in their mouth.
That's when they complained.
Before, right, they complained. Bnei Israel complained. They were all upset that they didn't have meat. Right, they had the mun, which can taste like anything, but they need meat. So, which by the way, it shows you the mun didn't. It had the same consistency. It just tasted like something else. So imagine having the consistency of a donut that tastes like meat. That's interesting. Yeah. But they wanted real meat. So the slav comes, but even before the meat was out of their teeth, so Hashem got mad and he punished them and the like. So the Gemara, I didn't bring in the beginning, but the Gemara says that from here we learn that when meat remains in the mouth, within the teeth, so that still counts as if you have meat in your mouth. So you're done chewing, you swallow, whatever it is, but the fact that you could have meat in your mouth, through in your teeth or the like, that counts as if you're still eating the meat. Right?
Okay, so just based on that, let's say like you don't brush your teeth at night.
Oh, good. So we're going to get
then
to that, right?
Have it in the morning.
Well, I don't need to know everyone's habits or when you brush your teeth or when you shower, but yes, that's part of the question.
Like braces or retainer.
Yeah, braces, retainers, fake teeth. The people with fake teeth need Pesach teeth?
Invisalign.
Or
Invisalign, okay.
If your braces are metal, then...
Do you have to kosher them?
What's the put something that was so hot?
Yeah, it's the lettuce. But by the way, we're joking, but Lamaisa, I think it's brought down in a tshuva about someone, do they have to kosher their teeth or let's say their braces for Pesach or between meat and dairy, right? So generally speaking, food that you're putting in your mouth is probably not Yatzalesbo.
Right.
I think there are some other factors that we're lenient about. So I don't think, listen, you have to clean out your braces, but at some point we also assume that if something's been there for a period of time, it's gone bad, it's rancid, it's no good. But okay, that's part of it. So what exactly is the issue of being in your teeth, right? So if you look at source one, Rashi explains, Asur lachol gvina, you can't eat cheese after eating meat. Mishum debasar motzi shuman, because the meat that you just chewed, that you had in your mouth, exudes and gives off a certain oil or fat, and it stays in the mouth and continues to give taste. It continues to give over time. So if a person chews meat and they swallow it, so then what you have in your mouth is some oily or fatty substance which remains in the mouth. It's true, you could brush your teeth and the like, but there's somehow a consistency that remains. I think the Torah and other people explain that when you swallow, so specifically then, it's a problem. Everyone always talks about it's based on digestion, right? That's not really brought down in the sources. Digestion is not really what it depends on. Maybe it's gotten, I think maybe the Aruch HaShulchan says it, or the Torah from the fact that he assumes Rashi means you're swallowing the meat, and only then are you worried about this oil continuing to give off taste. So it gives off taste for a certain amount of time that would be considered like it's in your mouth, and you can't eat dairy with meat in your mouth because then you're eating meat and dairy together, right? So that's Rashi. But the Rambam, and you'll see why it matters, these two different reasons, but the Rambam in Source 2 says, Misha achol basar b'tchila, bein basar behema, bein basar of, a person who first eats meat, and that's whether it's chicken or fowl or actual meat, lo yochel acharav chalav, a person shouldn't then eat dairy unless you have a period of time for another meal in between them.
Oh, this is the source for the 6 hours?
Exactly, yes. And that's like 6 hours.
Like.
Oh, good. Yes, pick up on that language. Because meat remains stuck in the teeth that isn't just washed out by swishing out your mouth or chewing something else. So good. So he says like 6 hours. The Meiri also says approximately 6 hours. So we'll see. We'll pick up that. We'll pick on that when we get to exactly the right amount of time. But before we get how long a person has to wait, just realize his focus is that meat can get stuck in between the teeth.
Which is why you wouldn't have to wait 6 hours after cheese, because cheese doesn't get stuck.
It's soft, right. So cheese might have neither of these. We have two reasons. We have Rashi's reason, which it exudes a certain type of oil or fattiness, which gives over. Yes, a hard type of cheese might. So let's talk about the soft one. So the soft type of cheese is not really giving off that flavor for so long, and it's also not going to get stuck in between the teeth. A harder cheese, though, it's very sharp. So a hard cheese has certainly the concern, like what Rashi says, that its tam, its taste really remains. The second one is, if it's harder, it might be able to get stuck. So for that reason, harder cheese. I have a whole list here. I don't know cheeses so well, but we'll get to this. This is my only show and tell tonight. But there's a number of cheeses that we treat as sharp or hard cheese that we have to be worried about. But we'll get to cheeses in a second.
Like American cheese, is that
so? Cool? American cheese is not a problem. About we'll see. We'll see what the litmus test is. Okay, so that's basically the concern. These two things, getting stuck in the mouth or giving off a taste. And the Shulchan Aruch and the Torah, everyone says we're concerned for both of these reasons. So even if you would say, oh, I'll floss my mouth, I'll clean it out, no problem. There will not be a single piece of meat left. So I'll tell you, but Rashi would still be a problem. And if you say, I scrubbed out my mouth that, you know, or I ate something afterwards that got rid of the taste, so you still have the Rambam, right? These two always play off of each other.
Right.
Then in almost all cases, we're going to be concerned that you have to wait. So now how long do you have to wait,
mm-hmm.
right? So that comes from source 3, right? And then we'll say it outside after this. So in source 3...
Well, just quickly going
yes.
to Rashi, are we able to infer a time from Rashi? Like, when does that fat go away?
Right. So he's commenting on the Gemara in number 3 that's coming off of. So we'll see, meaning that whole Gemara talks about this, how long one waits or after what do you have to wait. And he's commenting, the reason for this is because the taste stays. So now how long does that taste stay? Or how long is Rashi concerned for that? So in source 3, we have a story by or a phrase by Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva said, Ana ay lahamilsa, when it comes to waiting between meat and milk, Chala bar chamra legabi abba. I'm like vinegar, the son of wine, in regards to my father. Meaning, my father was way firmer than I was. Di'ilu abba, when my father ki hava achil bisra, if he would eat meat ha'idna right now,
lehava achil gvina ad lamarcha
ad hashta, he would wait 24 hours. My father, he was from 24 hours before having dairy, right? Di'ilu ana me, you know, a vinegar type of guy, the hasudasa hu dele achilna. I won't eat meat and dairy in the same meal, l'sudasa achrisa achilna, but I'll eat cheese or dairy at a separate meal. So what counts as a separate meal? Right? How do you understand that? So immediately after reading that, I would have assumed, when are you allowed to have cheese?
Next meal.
Dinner. What?
Breakfast, lunch, dinner.
That's the time period.
Yeah.
Right.
Like it's
what
it's
about different. What about immediately? What about next meal? All right, guys, Shavuos morning. We're going to do it opposite. We're going to start with fleishigs, wash, done, stop our meal bench, and let's eat dairy. Right? According to one way to read this Gemara, it would literally mean just a separate meal, quite literally a separate meal. Obviously, meaning you would have to bench, it would have to be a separate meal, mamish. You'd have to wash out your mouth and clean your hands, but you could do it, right? And what the Rambam is assuming, you'd have to clean out your mouth. And Rashi's saying that as long as you washed out your mouth, so maybe the taste wouldn't keep going. So that's one opinion. The other opinion is, what's the next meal? So whatever you're saying it's subjective. Well, okay, whatever the next meal was in the times of the Gemara. So if you give some average type of time, they didn't really eat 3 meals a day. Perhaps they weren't eating, you know, lunch, breakfast, dinner with 30 snacks in between. Right? They had their breakfast, a later lunch in the day, and I don't know if they had dinner exactly. I don't know all their dietary habits. But basically the Rishonim understand that you can average it out to a 6-hour gap between meals. So what Mar Ukva was saying was my father would wait 24 hours. I just wait until the next meal, which happens to be about 6 hours, right? So that's where the Rambam says, kimo sheshos, like 6 hours. That's what it comes out to. So according to that, so you have immediately or 6 hours. Now, we have two more periods of time. What are the other customs that people hold?
1 hour and 3 hours.
1 hour and 3 hours, right. So where do those come from? And by the way, it's important. Like, if we haven't been hugging, where do they come from? Because if they don't come from somewhere, then it's not really a minnow. It's not something that stands. So 6 hours I get, that was the average, let's say, time in between meals. No time I get, which no one actually holds practically, where you just have to end your meal, wash your hands and wash your mouth, and then go to your cheese. So 1 hour, well, let's start with 3 hours.
One hour is the Svartim, right?
Oh, Svartim are 6 hours.
Oh, Svartim are six?
Yeah.
Is 1 hour like some European, Belgian?
Yeah, I think German is three.
Yeah.
And 1 second, what is, did I even, 1 hour. Who holds 1 hour?
What about Swedish? Yeah.
Swedish is something Dutch. Like that. Yes, yeah. Dutch. Yes, that's what it is. 1 hour is Dutch, thank you. So 1 hour comes from the Zohar. If you look at the backside, Zohar and Source 4. So this goes in either direction, meat or dairy.
Maybe,
right?
Maybe people know when we're learning Zohar tonight, they got
Yeah, maybe we should have told people we're learning this, right? To Eshkechan, right? Furthermore, we see, Dekol ma de'achil haimichla de'ischaber kechada. Anyone who eats this together, it comes together like one. B'shaita chada o b'sudasa chada. If you eat meat and dairy within the same hour, it's as if you're eating them together. If you eat meat and dairy to the same meal, it's as if you're eating them together. So the Zohar assumes, and by the way, Chabad Hasidim, many Hasidim are very machmir on this, they don't eat meat and dairy within the same hour in either direction. Obviously not meat and then dairy, but they definitely don't eat. And they also don't eat dairy and then meat within the same hour. There are people I know who wait mamish a whole hour. It doesn't matter what type of cheese. Another custom, a lot of people wait half hour.
It's a common practice amongst Chabad.
I don't know how common. I know a number of them do. I mean, is it maybe brought down by Shulchan Aruch Rav? Yeah, at least as far as I'm aware, I know many Chabadniks who hold by that. And I know non-Chabadniks who hold by half hour, because at least maybe you should get over the half hour mark to not eat meat and dairy within the same thing. If you're kosher for the Zohar, you know, Zohar is a holy thing. So that's where maybe 1 hour comes from. You could also say 1 hour is almost like a meeting point between, well, I'm not going to wait 6 hours, but I'm not going to follow the other lenient view to eat immediately afterwards, so I'll separate by an hour. Right? That's where 1 hour comes from. And then 3 hours could come from, you could either say 3 hours is the average time between our meals or meals during, let's say, the Rishonim, or you could say 3 hours is also a meeting point, right? It's not 6 hours, it's not immediate, it's exactly in the middle.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where those customs come about.
So how did fleishigs that aren't baser get looped into this as well?
Meaning
chicken or turkey or
so
deer or whatever,
right? Chaya or oaf. Yeah. So the Gemara brings this down. The Rambam cites also that basically there's a concern of the easy confusion, like total easy confusion. And by the way, there's also, it's not a deoraisa to eat chicken
yeah.
and dairy together, nor a wild animal, and right, we
but you could have, a hamburger and a piece of cheese as long as it's cold on the same bun, according to the Torah, right?
Yeah, exactly. But midarabanan, and the understanding is a person cannot eat that together. Although the eating without cold, right? Yeah.
So it says
Lo Sevashel. Right, Lo Sevashel. Right. Now that throws us back to what that was like 12 shiurim ago. That was the first one, right? Okay, so that's basically the time. So practically, I mean, a lot of Ashkenazim, the Ramah ends 6 hours is nachon. 6 hours is a good proper thing to do. But obviously, anyone whose custom is 3-1, whatever it is, that's what you know. I'm not here to change anyone's customs. That's for sure.
Do you know how the custom of into the 6 hour came about?
Yes. So into the 6 hour has to do with this Rambam right here. Basically, when we say 6 hours, what is 6 hours? So we said 6 hours was that time in between the meals.
Yeah.
So the Rambam says, "Kimo sheishal," so, you know, similar, approximately 6 hours. I think the Mi'iri also has some similar comment. So basically, what that custom is you have to get close to that, into the 6 hour. Most, again, if that's a person's minhag, I'm not going to speak against a person's minhag. but most Postgame, I think, hold, you have to wait 6 hours. The question is, if I don't fully remember what time exactly. So if I know that I'm past the 5.5 hour mark for sure, I just don't remember, am I 5:50, am I 6 hours? So once you cross that 5.5 hour mark into the 6 hour, so then maybe you can be more lenient, right? If you know for sure that you didn't hit 6 hours for sure, then it's iffy. That's not such a, don't look, don't tell. You don't exactly remember this, but you're over 5.5, so that's appropriate. I think that's where the
I don't think people know exactly the minute
You don't know the minute, but you have to know, approximately somewhat close. And that what I think Rav Avadia and even the Ashkenazi postgame, if you get 5.5 hours and you know you're definitely past that, you just don't remember within that half hour. Is it 1 minute away? Am I close there? So you can be lenient. All right. So like the first question, right? Finish Shabbos lunch between 2 and 3. I know I was over by 3 for sure. So I'm definitely safe at 9 o'clock. I'm pretty sure it was 2:30, 2:45, right? So once you have some inkling, okay. So if you really can't wait, you can do the 5.5. But I think generally, if you don't really need the pizza, just wait till 9.
Yeah.
You get your full 6 hours. It's safe. It's good. So the other, I'm just trying to think as far as timing. Oh, so for kids, right? How long should kids wait? Right.
What age should
they?
Yeah. Well,
right.
It depends. I mean, the
chinuch
part.
So. Right. So, what age? So, I saw varying opinions on this. Classic, right? But basically, I think a general Rabbi Forrest brings this down. A few of the postgim. A general good thing, when they are 3. So try, for sure under 3, they don't have to wait. 3 to 6, you should try to have them wait an hour. And then 6 and above to do 6 hours. Yeah. Others say, you don't have to wait 6 hours till you're 9, and just from age 3, just start, 1 hour, add on another hour the next year, something like that. But I think it's definitely a fair approach that between, for sure, there are opinions that say between 3 and 9, you can wait an hour. But once they kind of get, I don't know how old your oldest is. How old?
8 times.
How old is it? 5. Okay. So I don't know. I only have a 3-year-old, so I don't know how much they get at that point, but tell a kid to wait an hour is probably appropriate, especially once they get it, right? And to add on more time each year, by the way, the kids aren't keeping track of the hour. They're not going to call you out. It hasn't been an hour, or it's been an hour, right? So, I think that's the general good approach. 3 years old, already start with the hour, and then if it's appropriate for the kid, they understand, so add. And once they're 6... if that's an appropriate thing.
What about an infant where it's a question of you literally mixing the meat together? They have a high chair and they're eating chicken or whatever, and they're having milk and it's all kind of mixed.
Right. So you're not, it's a good thing to clear away the meat,
right?
But the more practical, that you can take care of. They have meat in their mouth, right? You're not swiping out all the meat, but they're screaming for the bottle. So the concern over here is while a child is not obligated in mitzvos and the like, you can't compel a child to do an aveira, right? You can't give meat and milk to a child to eat, right? So that's the concern. If you give them mamish dairy and they have in their mouth something else, I think a good approach with that is you can make the bottle for them and put it on their tray and they take it. Then you weren't actually sticking it in their mouth. So it's not as if you were feeding them the dairy. There are a bunch of, basically, it's called sfia, feeding iser, feeding treif to a child, which that's not okay. But once it's a dirabanan, because it's not hot, it's not cooking it together, and you are not enabling them exactly, you're not handing it straight to them. If you just put it down, they can reach for it. Usually at that age, they can reach for it. Usually by that age, if they're able to chew chicken, right? Just trying to, I think that's a good age. Listen, if they need the bottle and they're too young to really grab for it themselves, then it's also, that's okay also. I don't know if those they make the ground spinach or apple sauce containers. I don't know if they make ground meat.
They do, but they're not kosher.
Okay, so good. So that's why. No, but were a person to find a kosher one, they made it themselves and they gave it to their child and their child is under one, the child is, a few months and they're not taking the bottle and they need the bottle, so that would probably be okay. But I think the general mahalach, the best way is if they're old enough to take the bottle themselves, put it down, they'll take it and they'll drink it. More with in question two is, let's say you have your three-year-old and it hasn't been an hour and now they want that slice of cheese, so what do you do, right? Again, you have to know with each child how much do they understand or not. I think in this case, a child, first, you know, they're 3 years old. If they're not, they don't have chicken in their mouth and they're not eating the meat right now. So I think in that case, it's it depends on how much of a tantrum, but I think in that case, it would be okay to give them the slice of cheese. If you're a family, though, that in general is always telling the kid 1 hour and they know what that means, it's hard to imagine. I mean, even, I'm trying to think of my son.
Does he know? I had a little similar case the other day. I made like noodles and a meat pot. Like we talked
right.
about the meat noodles. So I had meat sauce because they're noodles and meat pot, made from meat pot. And Kobe, who's 2.5, was freaking out because he wanted it with cheese instead of meat sauce. And he like doesn't understand. He like doesn't. Eitan understands quite well. Like,
right.
You know, but Kobe.
So that's harder because that's you doing it, right?
Yeah.
It was noodles made in a meat pot.
Yeah.
And when was the last time? And you'd already made it. And
when
was the last time you had used it for meat?
Probably a while.
Right. So.
Like actually, yeah. So I didn't do it.
Right.
But
good. That
was
in
like
general, that's
because
the same.
He was
but,
really
yeah.
freaking out, and he, right. That's probably.
Hypothetically, right. How is question two any different than you're in a store and your child has a massive temper tantrum to buy it and eat something that's treif, not kosher, right?
Oh.
Right.
So how is that different than this, let's
say? Well, one, those cases most likely, let's say, talk about treif meat, that's deoraisa.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, deoraisas, whereas here you're dealing with the derabanan because you're not actually cooking, nothing's being cooked in the mouth. And so we say, svia, this idea of feeding a child something, enabling the Avera, maybe it's not applicable by the Rabbans. I think the Rashba holds that, and maybe I'm mixing up the Rishonim, but I'm pretty sure that's the Rashba, whereas others hold, no, it even applies by the Rabbans, but everyone agrees it applies by the Arises. So there's that, and there's also over here, this is already a step removed even from the Rabbanan of waiting, right? Because even we even have an opinion which says that you can immediately eat right afterwards.
Right.
Right? If they drank something in between and washed their hands, whatever it is. So you're already a few steps removed. So I think that those factors together allow you to give the cheese to the child if it's really an issue. Once you're, you know, a 5-year-old, I think that they can understand enough that I think it's appropriate to be waiting an hour. Right? Certainly, you know, 6 years old, and if they can wait 6 hours also.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. It's also, if someone's sick, by the way, if someone's really sick and the like, so they can also, the 1 hour is something to fall back onto. If a person's mom is sick, like a chola shein bo sakana, if they're really bedridden and the like, you can go less than the hour. I think Rav Schechter says that. But in general, this holding by an hour in more extreme cases is very appropriate.
Like if go less than an hour if they need something that's milk or whatever.
If what?
You're saying like if they need milk for their sickness or just one.
Yeah, yeah, anything like that. You have honestly someone who's pregnant, who's very nauseous, not doing well, and relatively bedridden, and they really need dairy. That's the only thing they're going to eat right now. So you have to know each wife, each person themselves to know. Mm-hmm. But if someone's bedridden from pregnancy, so that could be maybe a reason to go down to the hour. But again, each one is case by case basis. So, but that's just to realize that falling back to that hour, that's the minimum really that we ever hold by. But for almost all cases, our minhag is our minhag, and that's what we hold by. 6 hours is very strong, right? It's not just if someone's not feeling well. Stama, you know, I have a little bit of a headache. Let me take some milk. That's not what we're talking about. That's for sure not. Right. Just to know, when do we count the 6 hours from the last time you were eating meat? So even if your meal extended for a few hours after you finished the main course, that's fine. You count the 6 hours or 3 hours, whatever you keep, from when you stopped eating meat. Right. Okay. For cheese, we just talked about this before, but just to realize, so for cheese, if it's soft cheese or the like, so we're not worried about the above reasons. So for an Ashkenazi, for generally most, most Jews, you don't have to wait after eating meat to go into dairy. What you do need to do is you need to wash your hands and rinse your mouth out. Right? You need to rinse
your... You mean dairy to meat?
Dairy to meat. You have to rinse your mouth out, wash your hands, and then you could have meat after. The exception is hard or sharp cheeses. The reason being is because we're worried about the above two reasons of Rashi, the Rambam, and that still applies. So what is a hard, sharp cheese? If it's been aged 6 months or more. So I looked into this, right? American cheese, no way. That's 2 or 3 months. You can tell by its quality. Cheddar, most cheddars are less than 6 months. Sharp cheddars are aged. They can be aged to 6 to 7 months. So you have to know which one you're getting. Goat cheese, no, I don't know. Do people eat goat cheese?
Monster.
What?
Yeah.
No,
you have goat cheese in our fridge. Yeah, it's in there.
Okay. A Munster is 5 to 7 weeks, so that's not. The one that's common that is aged more than 6 months is Parmesan cheese.
Oh.
So if a person has Parmesan, yeah, in the shaker. What do people make pizzas with? Isn't that, what's that made with?
People add mozzarella. Parmesan as like a topping.
Right.
I think yeah.
So sometimes you'll have, yeah, mozzarella is 30 days, that's nothing. Parmesan can be an issue. If it's cooked or melted, many people are making. Right?
So the spice one is definitely cooked.
I'm saying if you put it on your and bake it, right? It's not cooked, right? So,
but it must be how would Parmesan cheese be in a spice container be out of the fridge? It must be something.
We did keep ours in the freezer.
Like you in the fridge?
I think it can be kept out. A lot of cheeses. Okay. The truth is, I don't really know how cheeses are made, and so I really can't weigh in. But I think the one that comes in the shaker has a status of hard Parmesan cheese. I don't know exactly what comes in, but you can look into it, but I believe so. But if you have something that's cooked in a restaurant, so if it's melted, so you don't have to wait 6 hours after that. It took away that sharpness or the hard aspect of the cheese. I don't think there were any other classic cheese.
Blue cheese.
Right. Anyone, by the way, you can look this up on, I think, the OU has a whole list. Hervati. Havarti?
Havarti,
yeah. Right. That you have to...
We
have
that one.
Cheese thing?
Yeah, it's aged for 1 year. Blue cheese, I don't know. Blue cheese is... Oh, that's the one that smells. Blue pungent cheese.
Yeah.
No, it's 2 to 4.5 months, so that's usually okay. Yeah, fascinating. Anyway, so you can look up cheeses what you want, but just to realize that that's the... once it's been cooked, so you're not... It's not so much of a problem. The last point, and this you asked before, when it comes to things like meat containers or meat that cookware that you've used or with a knife, so the Ramban, source 5, says, Mihu, im ein basar betavshel, rak shenis bashel bekadeira shel basar. Let's say there's no meat in the food, you just cooked it in a meat pot like parv noodles, mutter lecho acharav gvina. It's okay to eat cheese after that. And we have no custom to be stringent in that case. So anytime we're dealing with a pot or cutting an onion or the like that is with a meat utensil or a meat pot, if there's no actual physical residue, even though we say taste is exuded into the parv food or the like, that's not actually going to make you fleishig. So you can't eat it with dairy, but it's not actually making you fleishig on the spot. So that's just, you don't have to start a count.
So in terms of a deep fryer.
Okay, so right, let's talk about, so your deep fryer at home, let's say a person just has their own deep fryer. Do people have their own deep fryer? Yeah.
It's like a thing now.
Yeah, there's,
Or air fryers, I guess.
Right, air fryer. Well, air fryers.
There's no oil,
right? Yeah, there's no oil.
Right, if it was clean also. Fine, let's talk restaurants. So if you have at Max's, I don't know Max's specifically, but in general, you'll have meat restaurants that are using the same oil for both meat and their fries. So if you're using it for the same stuff, whether at the same time or one after the other, that's not nap or not. That's not double taste, right? Double transfer of taste. There are particles, I mean, probably there are pieces of meat in the oil that are being cooked with the fries. So those would make you fleishigs, and the same with the dairy. So if they're using mozzarella sticks and boiling them or frying them in the oil at the same time or even one after the other of with fries, so those fries are going to be dairy fries and you can't have them after meat. Right? The only way it would be okay is if there's if it's cleaned out with a totally fresh batch of oil. But I presume most of the time it's not, which is why when you call these establishments, they're going to tell you they're meat or they're milchiks. And they don't mean it's dairy equipment. They mean it's quite literally milchiks because it's been cooked together together with it. Yeah. So I'm just, is there any other points? There, yeah, the last question, what if you have someone that you tasted, right? You put meat in your mouth and all of a sudden you decide, no, I don't want that, and you spit it right out, right? Or you weren't thinking, yeah, I do not want to be fleishigs right now. You popped in your mouth and immediately just spit it right back out.
Well, once you take the bite.
Oh, so good. So if you take a bite, there's not much to talk about. If you immediately spit it out, generally, listen, if you tell me, the reason why this question came up was someone was pregnant and they were really craving meat. And the second they put it in their mouth, they were disgusted by it. They spit it right out, and now they want dairy, right? It was just like mom's roller coaster right then and there. So in that case, you're talking about that, okay. But in general, we still have to be concerned that it was put in your mouth actual meat. So in general, unless there's some other circumstances, we'd probably say, okay, you're fleishigs. Right. If someone another case would be if you spilled soup on your finger and you just licked it without thinking, but there wasn't enough to really swallow, just on your tongue. So, but there was no real meat; it was just broth of the soup. So there's more reason to be leaning over there. But if you put like real meat in your mouth, so you didn't chew. It's true, but Rashi didn't say you have to chew, right? So okay, if it ever comes up, it definitely depends on the circumstance. But in general, like the Ramah says, we don't have the language here, but the Ramah says this is the minhag, and I think the Prima Gadim also says we stand very strongly by waiting in between meat and dairy. See, even when you have these certain circumstances, did I really eat? Was it in my mouth for long enough? In general, we say, yeah, you just have to have time in between meat and dairy. Okay, so anyway, that's just the general halachos. If there's any specific questions, take those. But okay.
Thank you.
Great, thanks.